grateful today for the privilege and opportunity to serve the Lord, and really for the privilege and opportunity to serve His people. Thank the Lord for that. We desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We want to turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're going to start reading at the first verse. Give a title to this discourse. It would be, Five Were Wise. Five Were Wise. And oftentimes, before we read this, oftentimes there are those that want to, the gospel is, say things like the gospel, the message should be a positive message, and the gospel is a positive message. Anytime you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is positive. It shows us, it's a mirror reflection of where we are. Sometimes the Lord brings to our heart and mind where we are, and He brings to our heart and mind where we should be, and that's brought out through the Word of God. All right, we would like to start reading. If you have it, you can read it for us, please. Kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
And five of them were wise,
and five were foolish.
They that were foolish
took their lamps
and took no oil with them.
But the wise took oil in their vessels
with their lamps.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
And at midnight,
there was a cry made,
Behold,
the bridegroom cometh,
go ye out to meet him.
Then all those virgins arose
and trimmed their lamps.
And the foolish said unto the wise,
Give us of your oil,
for our lamps are gone out.
But the wise answered, saying,
Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you,
but go ye rather to them that sell,
and buy for yourselves.
And while they went to buy,
the bridegroom came,
and they that were ready
went with him to the marriage,
and the door was shut.
Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us.
But he answered and said,
Verily I say unto you,
I know you not.
Watch therefore,
for ye know neither the day
nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So the positive message about this today is that you all of us here, can watch and pray, and we can be prepared when the Lord comes, whenever that is. None of us know when the Lord is going to come. None of us know when the Lord is going to call for us. It may not be the end of time. It may not be that the Lord comes through the clouds, but it may be that the Lord comes for you and I, and we don't know that time. We're healthy right now. We can leave this place, and we can go, and we can find out that we have a debilitating disease or something. The request came in for the young man, 30 years old or something like that, that was shot to death, and his life apparently over, and the Lord had mercy on him. Let me say to all of us, the Lord is having mercy on all of us here today. If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord, the positive message of the gospel is that you can get to know Him today. If your life is going in a direction that you're not happy with the results of your life, the good news of the gospel is that you can change that today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. You don't have to live in sin more or less every day, but you can live a righteous and holy life from this day forward. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, what we have here, this situation here, is it says the kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins. What this is all of these individuals are the same. They're all virgins. And what this is a representation of is that they're all pure. They're all holy. They're all righteous. They really all are saints of God, Christians, whatever you want to call it. They're all of them. All 10 of them are. And it says five of them were wise and five were foolish. As we read this, did you notice that there was only one difference between them? They all did the very same thing, but there was only one difference between them. One of them took extra oil in their vessels, the other one didn't. That's the only difference between these Christians. One was a little bit more prepared. They made some choices that were beneficial choices to go just a little step further. Maybe I won't need it, but it's better for me to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. The other ones assessed the same situation. They had the same access to the oil that the other five had, but they chose, you know what, I'm all right now. I'm looking at the oil that's in my lamp. My oil is burning. Everything is fine, and I can just go on just like this. And do you notice that they all went on this journey? They all slumbered and slept. The ones that were wise, the ones that were foolish, they both slumbered and slept. But when they woke up, and they both heard the cry, they woke up, they both trimmed their lamps, and then all of a sudden one group of them realized that I don't have any oil that's left. At the time that I was sleeping, at the time that I was not taking special attention to my spiritual life, my oil leaked out, ran out, burned out, however you may say it, it's out nonetheless. And now I need some. And the only way that I have, the ability that I have to get it, is to get it from you. So will you give me some of your oil? All right? Now I want to say this because I feel like it's very important. There are two kinds of Christians. Wise ones and foolish ones. That's what the Bible says. So if we were to take what this parable is saying here, it is saying that half of the church, true church, people that are truly saved, according to this parable, only half of them are going to make the proper choices to make certain that their lamp is still burning when Jesus Christ comes back. Now that's according to this scripture. I didn't say it. They were all virgins. They all went through the process. They all lived a life right up until the very end. They lived just like they were supposed to live in essence. But they, one group realized that I may need a little bit extra. And so maybe everybody around me isn't doing it, and maybe it may not even be necessary for me to do it, but yet and still, I realize that I need the little extra oil that I need in my vessel just to make sure that I have it to get over the hump. And the others decided that it's not necessary for me to have a little extra oil. So what are we talking about when we say the oil? There is, we teach, and I believe it's true, that the oil is the Holy Spirit. I believe that it can be presented like that. I believe that we can say that there are some that realize that I need to be sanctified. I need the Spirit of the Lord dwelling and living in me. I don't believe that's taking anything away from the Scripture. But I want to go a little bit further, because I want to say that I believe, even if we're not careful, the sanctified church, even they are the virgins, that when we split it right down the middle, only half of them are going to make the right choices. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here. Only half are going to make the right choices to do the things that they know to do to go the extra mile. Here's the point. There are a few things that you're going to need in your life from the point that you get saved to the point that you go out of here. One of those things is you're going to need a great big dose of humility. There are going to be things that come your way that you're not going to appreciate, you're not going to like. Folks are going to step on your foot, they're going to spit in your face, they're going to crucify you, they're going to call you all kinds of names and do all kinds of things. You're going to have to humble. I want to say the one is humility, and the other one I want to deal with is grace. All right? We need the grace of God, and we need humility. And when we are in places in our experience, and we're in these certain places in our experience where we realize that I'm going through a trial, and I realize I don't have what I need in the midst of this trial, what's supposed to happen? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just go along and just hope that everything gets better and things settle down? We have an obligation to our own soul to make certain that we have access to the grace of God to be able to go back, humble ourselves, and say, Lord, give me the grace that I need to go through whatever trial it is that I'm going through right here. And do you know what the Lord will do? He'll give it to us. But He only gives it to the humble. How many of us have been in places in our experience where it seems like, Lord, what I'm going through just seems a little bit too difficult? And it seems a little bit too unfair. And it seems like I shouldn't have to go through this. But yet and still, you signed up for this. When you said you wanted to be to live for the Lord, you wanted to be a Christian, you wanted to be a saint of God, you wanted to be all that the Lord would have you to be, you signed up to go through trials and persecutions and problems and all the things that you're going through from this time to the time that the Lord comes in to meet you. That's what you signed up for. All right? So it says here, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, do you know they were all traveling in the same place? You know what? No doubt they had some conversations. I just don't see people driving down or walking down or going to a certain place and they're all together and they don't have any kind of conversations. I believe that they saw the extra vessel that they had with the extra oil. And in some ways, I believe that they thought that, well, if I get into trouble, I don't want to have to carry this big heavy thing all that way. If I get in trouble, so-and-so let me have some of their oil. Do you know what I believe? I believe that there are too many Christians, too many folks that are one payday away or one trial away from spiritual bankruptcy. Spiritual bankruptcy. If I were to ask you here in this audience, how many of you are preparing for your retirement? I don't want you to hold up your hand. How many of you have projected into the future to the time when you cannot work any longer? And as a young person or as a person in our middle age now, as a person that is in that age, how many of us are preparing for our retirement? Have put money in 401k plan, have had it matched and done all the things that we needed to do to make certain that when I'm 65 or if my health fails or if something happens where I can't go to work on a day-to-day basis, I have a little nest egg somewhere, a little extra oil to get me through the difficult times. I may not be able to live high on the hog, but I'll be able to have something that keeps us through. Do you know what I would venture to say? I would venture to say over half of us, if half of us prepared for our retirement like we should, I would be shocked. Because I know how Americans think. Well, in the same way, this is something that if we get to be old people and we don't have too much, there is a such thing as welfare. There's a such thing as SSI. We can get our Social Security and we can kind of make ends meet. I saw an older lady a few years ago. She used to come stand out on the street corner up here in Prairie Creek and somewhere up there. And an older lady saying, listen, all I'm trying to do is to supplement my little check that I'm getting. And she's asking for money. When I'd see her there, I'd give her some money. But you know, I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what her life story is. But I would venture to say, if I could use her for an example, and I'm not trying to berate her in any way, but I don't believe that she projected into the future and said at some point, I need to start preparing today for when I get old. But do you realize it's okay in one sense for us to do that monetarily, but it is not okay for us not to prepare for our spiritual retirement. All of us are going to retire. We're going to get out of this place. We're not going to be alive anymore. And at some point, we've got two resorts to go to, you might say. One is heaven and one is hell. And our responsibility is to make certain that we choose, make the right choices today to make certain that when I get down to the end of my life, I am living for the Lord and I've got my retirement set up. I'm doing everything every single day, making certain that I'm living like God wants me to live so that when my time comes, I'm ready to go and I'm ready to go in the way that the Lord wants me to go. I believe that too many of us are making in the same way that we make bad choices financially and don't think that it's that important because I'm good and I'm healthy and everything is all right and it's not that important for me to set a little bit aside and sacrifice now so that I'll have a little bit later on when my children may not be able to help me, or if I don't have children I have a little problem. I'm making sacrifices now so that when that time comes I'll have what it takes to get me through. Now, I believe that we're not making those proper choices. And I believe that we're not making those proper choices in the things of God, and it's far more important than our 401k. We're not making the proper sacrifices to make certain that I've got a little bit more grace on hand to go through these trials that I'm going through, to be able to have a little bit more humility, to humble myself down when things don't go my way and I feel like I have a certain right to do this or that, and I don't humble myself down and I make demands of other people so that I don't have to get the grace that God wants me to have. May the Lord help us. And then when we come down to our deathbed or our where things are not going as well as we want them to go, we wonder, why don't I have what I need because I didn't get it when I had the opportunity to get it? take a little more oil. That's what I want to say to us today. It may be a little more sacrifice, but when you come to places, there's a place in the Scripture. Let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. All right, this is Paul speaking. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure
through the abundance of the revelation,
there was given to me a thorn in the flesh,
the messenger of Satan,
to buffet me,
lest I should be exalted above measure.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice,
that it might depart from me.
So Paul was in a place. He's a Christian here. He's a man of God, a saint of God, a minister that is in a place that realizes that I have the potential to fall here. I have the potential because I realize that, now I believe here, I don't know in my mind that the Lord told him that I'm giving you this so that you won't be exalted in the abundance of revelation. Maybe the Lord gave that to him after, I don't know. After he told him the things that he's about to tell him right now. But I believe that Paul realized and understood that he went through some things that he had to have a little bit more grace on hand. And he said, Lord, I'm desiring that you take this thing away from me where the devil is coming in and he's fighting me. His whole aim, the devil's whole aim and desire was to bring Paul down, to destroy him. Do you realize that the devil's aim and desire in every trial and every temptation that you go through is to destroy you? He's not your friend. He doesn't love you. He may come as an angel of light and pretend to be your friend, but he is not your friend. All right? So we need to know that. We need to understand that. So Paul went to prayer, and he prayed earnestly. He sought the Lord, and he sought the Lord the first time, and it seemed like nothing happened. And he went to the Lord the second time. He said, Lord, because I'm in a desperate place here. And he sought the Lord the second time, and nothing happened again. And he got a little bit more fervent in his spirit and sought the Lord the third time. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And therefore, and that was the answer to his prayer. It wasn't that God was going to remove it, but that God was going to give him the grace to be able to go through the trial. Whatever the trial was. Do you realize that the Lord does the same thing for you and I? This is Paul realizing that I have access to the grace of God. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can humble myself down in this particular instance, and I can ask the Lord to give me the grace that I need to be able to go through this trial. And do you know the Lord will do it every time? So I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're going through, Paul realized that I need more, a little more oil in my vessel. I need more than what I've got. There are times that you and I are going to realize that we need more than what we have on hand. That our lamp is, that our light, that the things that I'm going through, my light is not burning as bright as it should. I'm not being the example to the world that I should be. So what do I have to do at that particular point? I've got to go to the Lord, and I have to say, Lord, give me the grace that I need to go through that trial. Do you know I've been through some trials like that? I've been through some trials that I felt like, Lord, here I am. I'm a minister in the gospel, and I don't feel like I'm going through this trial in it with the level of victory that you have for me in the midst of it. So you know what I had to do? I had to go, and I had to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the grace that I need. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord gave the grace. You know what happens when a saint of God is not being an example to the world? It means that his lamp is burning down. Oh, he's still saved. But there are some things that we make excuses for. There are some behaviors that if we're not careful, we make excuses for those behaviors. It's not exactly sin, but you know if your neighbors saw it or if the folks at church saw it, they know that that's not the example of Jesus Christ. And we make excuses for it. Do you know what that is? That's a foolish virgin. That is somebody that realizes that they are not living to the level and the experience that God wants them to, but yet they don't go and get the grace that they need to go through the trial like God wants them to go through it. I don't care what your husband is doing. I don't care what your friends are doing. I don't care what the world is saying about you. When they persecuted Jesus Christ, when they persecuted Paul, when they persecuted Stephen, what did they do? Those were Christians that shined in the midst of the persecutions. Those were people that in the midst of all that was going on around them, their light was still burning. They didn't need to borrow some oil from somebody else. They had access to the one that gave the oil giver. So in the same way, we have no right to make excuses for a lax and a slack life that we live and justify the things that we do because everybody around us is doing it. God is calling for a greater church than that. He's expecting more out of His church than that. He wants five of us at least to be wise. And let me tell you, all of us here can be that five. We can be in that one group. Let it be somebody else that is in the group of the foolish Christians that don't get access to the oil that they need to be able to go through the things that grate against them and the things that cause them to squeak, you might say. The Lord has that for you. And let me tell you what I believe the Lord is saying to this congregation, to the Dallas congregation. It is time for you to make a choice. The right choice is to be on the right side where I am. That's what the Lord is saying. What does that mean? I don't want you to be foolish. I don't want you. I want you to mature. I want you to be what I want you to be. That's what I'm talking about here. May the Lord help. So what we have is these individuals had foresight to know when. They did not know when, but they did prepare for the long haul. They knew what they needed to keep their lamps burning. Do you know what you need to keep yours burning? To go through the trials and the testings that you're going through, you know what you need? And your responsibility is to do it. All right, let's go a little further here. Acts 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth
and said,
"Yes.
Of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
God is no respecter of persons.
But in every nation,
he that feareth him, and worketh righteousness,
is accepted with him."
Read down to 34, 35. All right, read that. Did you read both of those, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." So the Lord is no respecter of persons. So when it came down to the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, God was no respecter of persons. And today God is no respecter of persons. If you're going down into the 25th chapter of Matthew, and you read about the talents, the Lord gave, said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. The Lord gave three people talents. And out of those three, only two did what they were supposed to do. Why does the Lord keep telling us this? Why does the Lord keep telling us that there are going to be people that are truly, these are His servants, that are truly His servants? But yet they're going to make some very bad choices. And some of the choices that they're going to make is going to be, it's going to have an internal effect on them. And so what I believe the Lord is wanting you and I to know today is make the right choices. Don't allow the enemy to come and convince you to make some choices that you know are not right. All right, let's go a little further. Romans 11, verse 19. Yes.
The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded.
But fear.
For if
God spared not the natural branches,
take heed,
lest he also spare not thee. Continue.
Behold therefore
the goodness
and the severity
of God.
On them which fail
severity.
But toward thee
goodness.
If thou continue
in his goodness.
Otherwise
thou also shall be cut off. You know, it seems pretty severe to me, just from a natural standpoint, that these folks went all the way down to the end. These virgins, these Christians, these saints of God went all the way down to the end, and it wasn't until they got to the end that they realized that they didn't have just what it took to go just one more step further. If they could have had just this much oil left in the bottom of their vessels, then they would have had what they needed to go through. And it seems like, well, Lord, they've done everything that they've done for years and years and years, and they've waited. They did the same thing that the other ones did. They slumbered and they slept. The only thing that they didn't do was take wise oil. And it seems like, Lord, you just cut them off. No, he didn't cut them off. He didn't cut them off. And I want us to see that, because from our human perspective, we feel like, oh, God is good. God is good. And I want us to understand, and I want us to know, that there is no good that doesn't proceed from God. So all God is all good. But there is a sense of justice and a sense of fairness that we have. All of us have it. And we feel like that if we have done the things that we're supposed to do, then we should have the same kind of benefits that everybody else has. Right? There's something that we have about that. Well, in the same way, if we don't do the things that we know to do, then we should have the same punishment or the same consequences that other people have as well. So in the same way, God is an eternal God. So what he's saying to us right now, nobody in this room should be able to say, the Lord, what you're doing is not fair to me, because the Lord's given us due warning today. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. What he's saying here in this passage of Scripture, he said he came to the Jews, and the Jews didn't receive him. So he said what he did, he just basically cut them off. He said, all right, I'm not going to go to the Jews anymore. I'm going to the Gentiles. And I'm going to graft them into the root. I'm going to graft them into my vine. And they're going to become a part of the church. And my initial desire was for the Jews to do it. So when they did not prove themselves to be worthy, God just cut them off, and God grafted the Gentiles into the church. Well, in the same way, God is doing that today. Those that will not prove that, those of us, and I'm saying here, the 10 virgins, those of us that will not prove ourselves worthy to make the proper choices to live like God requires us to live, the Lord is saying, you know what? I don't care what everybody else is saying. This is my roots. These are my branch. I'm the vine. And so I'm going to cut them off. That seems pretty severe, doesn't it? But what I want us to understand is justice. It's what's right. It's only right. The Lord does not grade on a bell curve. He tells us what to expect in our individual lives, and he grades us he doesn't grade you according to me. And he doesn't grade me according to your understanding. And he doesn't grade the person that's sitting next to you according to anybody else's understanding. He grades you according to your level of understanding. So the choices that you make, the Lord knows what you know. And he knows whether or not you know what to do. And so the choices that you make are going to be eternal choices. Some of all of us, every single one of us, are making an eternal choice right now. All right. Luke 12:35. I'm not going to be here long. Luke 12:35-40. Yes. Let your loins be girt about. Be prepared. Be ready. And your light's burning. Keep, yes, down to 40. 40. Yes. And when he comes and knocks, yes, we may open unto him when. Have you ever? Now, I know some of y'all don't really have this problem, but I've known people that have had this problem. Didn't want to open the door because the house wasn't quite what it needed to be. Throwing everything was thrown all over. And so you knock on the door and, well, straightening up, trying to get everything together. Do you know what the Lord wants you? How the Lord wants you to live? Live like he's coming at any moment. Amen. That you can open the door when he knocks. Amen. The bridegroom come, when he knocks, you can open it immediately. Read, please.
Blessed are those who
Blessed are those servants
when he cometh,
shall find watching.
Verily I say unto you,
that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them.
And
if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, we don't know. We don't know when he's coming. And find them so, blessed are those servants. That's the good news about all of this. We can make a choice. We can choose which group that we're in today. And I believe that that's what the Lord's wanting us to do today. I believe the Lord is wanting every one of us to make the right choices to choose which group we're going to be in. Which other virgins are we going to be? Am I going to be a wise one or am I going to be a foolish one? There's only two groups. And I know you can say, well, I know that I'm a Christian. Absolutely. I agree with you that you're a Christian. But he still brings them down and divides them into two separate groups. One of them is wise and one is foolish. One takes a little bit more oil and one decides that it's not necessary to do it. The Lord is saying make a choice today and make the right choice. Read.
And
this know,
if the goodman of the house
had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Be you ready. So this is the good news. The good news of the gospel is we don't have to be afraid of what I'm talking about. We don't have to say, oh, Brother Darrell, that you're trying to scare me. No, I'm not. And you know I'm not. How many of us know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to come? Raise your hand. How many of you know the day or the moment that you're going to die? None of us know. So the responsible thing is to make the proper choice to be ready at all times so that I can open the door immediately. If the Lord were to come right now, how many of us, how would he divide this congregation? Would half of us here, which side do you want to pick? Half of us are sitting on one side and half are sitting on this side. Would this side be the wise virgins and this side be the foolish? Would this side be the foolish and this side be the wise? You have a choice to determine which group you're in today. And I want to encourage you. You got time. The good news is you can choose today. Well, I've already chosen to live for the Lord. I know that. But did you choose to be a wise virgin? Did you make that choice? All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. And someone get us Revelations 3 and 11. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. Read it for us if you have it.
We are all the children of light.
Yes.
And the children of the day.
We are not of the night. Okay. They say, you know who he's talking to? He's talking about us. Saints of God. All right. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. All right.
Therefore, let us not sleep.
As do others. Let us watch and be sober. Now, there's balance here. This is what he's saying. Watch and be sober. Now, it didn't say that you had to take 55-gallon barrels of oil. That you had to carry this barrel of oil that you could not handle. And that the whole weight of the oil is just more than you can bear. And you can't bear it, but you want to make sure. Then that's going overboard, isn't it? But he did say that there needed to be a vessel that you had where you were carrying the lantern and you're carrying something that you can, a little bit, a vessel that you can pour the oil in, and when it comes time that you realize that your oil is going low, what did he say? When they came to him and they said, well, give us up your oil. He said, no, you know where to go and buy oil from. You know what you have to do in order to get that oil. You go to that source and you get the oil. And when they went to that source, they came back, it was too late. And so what I want to say is you don't have to have a big barrel of oil to keep your light burning. All you need is enough to make certain that your oil is going to stay there and you got this and you got a little bit on the side. All right, so he says, watch and be sober. Be balanced. Read, please. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, so it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is what we can do, saints. I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, whatever you need, you have access to it. You have access to the grace. You have access to the oil that you need to get you through these difficult times and difficult places. Don't make excuses for yourself. Don't make justifications of why you don't think you should carry a little extra oil or go to the Lord to get a little extra grace that you need to be able to go through the things that the Lord has taken you through. May the Lord help us. Last verse, Revelation 3:11.
Behold, I come quickly.
Behold. Now, why does it seem like that the most important thing in our life is the least important thing? Why does it seem like to the average person that it's not that important how you live, when it is the most important thing that you have, that you can do, is how you live is most important? We're concerned about how we dress in the public of around people. We're concerned about the work. We're concerned about the things that we say. We're concerned about a whole lot of things, but are we concerned about the way that we live before God? All right, behold, I come quickly.
Hold that fast
which thou hast,
that no man
take thy crown. Why did he say that? Do you realize that you can be influenced by men? Do you realize that all of us are influenced by people? Do you realize that all of us are influenced by the society and what goes on around us in society? And if it's a popular thing in society, do you realize that all of us have a tendency to want to go with what's popular? But do you realize that the Scripture tells us very clearly, few there be that find it? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. So in other words, if you follow the crowd, you're more than likely going down the wrong path. Now that's according to Scripture. If you're following and doing what everybody, even in Christendom, you got all these big mega churches and all these things that folks do. I don't know. I believe there's some folks in there that are saved. I really do. And I believe that there are a lot of folks, a lot of places that are saved, but that's not what the Lord is looking at. You know why? Because those are positive messages most of the time. But I believe what God is saying to His church today is, don't follow the crowd. If the crowd is going in this direction, you go in another direction. You find out what the Lord is. He said, because I'm going to come quickly, hold that fast, that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know what I believe? When you look in the Scriptures and you look about in any place in the Scriptures where it speaks about the end of time, do you realize that there's just a few folks that made it out? Oh, Brother Darrell, that's such a derogatory message. It's so depressing, but it's so true. If you go into Sodom and Gomorrah, how many of those folks got out? Four. And only three made it. If you go to the type of Noah and the Ark, how many of them followed Noah and followed the true message of the gospel? Eight. Do you suppose that they were the only ones? You've heard me say this before. Do you suppose that they were the only ones and that was the most popular message? Or do you suppose that there were other folks that were saved as well? Probably, no doubt, saved. But they wouldn't get in the ark. They were saved right up until the last end. I don't have to do this. But do you know what? If I saw animals going into an ark, two by two, on their own accord, lions and antelopes, side by side, hawks and birds. Do you know what? That would have convinced me to get on that ark. I'd have been on that ark. Because something here is not quite, this isn't the norm. So I'm going to make certain that I get on that. But do you know how many of them were smart enough to get on it? I believe that some of them stood at the door and they were, maybe I should, and but you know what they were considering? They were considering what everybody would say if we got on that ark and we sat there and we said, what am I going to say when I walk out? I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm this man with this long beard and he's just kind of eccentric and he's kind of Lulu. And what he's requiring and what he's saying, and that nobody's ever heard that message. Do you know what that's what people are saying about the gospel message today? You don't have to get on that ark. You don't have to believe that. Do you know what? I believe it. I believe it. I believe that God is calling for a holy and a righteous people today. And I believe, yes, I believe that. This is why I can say to the folks that are around you, well, you believe that those people are, you believe the only folks in the church of God is going to go to heaven? No, I never, yeah, I do. But the church of God is bigger than what we see. All right? It's bigger than what we see. The church of God is in heaven and it's here. And every person that chooses to be one of the five wise virgins is part of the church of God, part of God's church, whether they call it that or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, and let me tell you, and there are other people that are all around them that are listening to the same messages, that have access to the same God. There are those people that you cannot say are not saved. You understand what I'm saying? They are saved. They are virgins, but they are the foolish ones. And they did not realize that they were foolish until the call came. They had slept. All of them slept. Every one of them slept. Every one of them did the same thing right down to the end. But he realized at the very end, at the time when we were about to go into retirement, we realized that I need SSI in order to make it. Give me some of your oil. This welfare mentality, you might say, give me some of what you got. Right. Now, you know what? I don't want you to miss this up. I believe that there is a place for welfare and place for those that may not have as much to help those that are poor. The Bible. Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, you know, the Bible is, in one sense, has a lot of socialist principles. All right? Give the saints went and sold all that they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet, and they made distribution of it. But there's a balance in that, and we won't get into that. But here's the point. I believe what the Lord is wanting us to understand, don't let a man take your crown. Don't listen to what somebody is saying because you believe what they're saying and it sounds good for the moment and whatnot. Do you realize that you just had heaven within your grasp and then you listened to what somebody else said and you felt in your own spirit that you should have gotten on that ark? Yeah, I might have been embarrassed if things don't work out and I have to get back off, but what if this is just how God wants me to live? What if the message is true? And I believe that the Lord spoke to those individuals that got on, as Noah was preaching, and I believe that the Lord said, this man, what he's saying is right. And I believe the Lord gave some of them an understanding and a vision that this thing is right. And then he goes on and it doesn't seem like it. Then we get into a place of confusion that another man comes in there and he's preaching something else different, just a little bit different than what Moses is preaching. And all of a sudden, they begin to listen and this makes a little bit more sense than what Noah was saying. And so consequently, they go this way, let no man take your crown. What God has shown you, the revelation that God has given you about his son, who he is, what it means to live for him, what it means to have a little bit more grace and a little bit more oil in your vessel, don't let a man tell you that it's not necessary to get a little bit more grace when you go into this trial. Don't let them tell you that that your wife needs to change because what she's doing is wrong and you should stand up and be a man. Let me tell you, the grace of God is sufficient for you to go through even when your husband or your wife is not acting right. They may not change. But you don't have a right to act up and be ugly and nasty about it if they don't change. Don't let somebody tell you that you have a right to stand and be disagreeable because of this situation. No, you don't. If you're going to be a wise servant of the Lord, what your responsibility is to go and get a little bit more oil. So, Lord, that I'll be lubricated in a way to go through these trials that you're allowing me to go through. I will be one of the five that are wise. I will be, Lord, by your help and by your grace. That's all we are, saints. Every one of us here can be a wise, one of the wise. But here, I want you to know, only five were wise. And they all were saints. So don't go around looking at what somebody else is saying and saying, I know that the Lord has delivered me from sin. Yes, he has. But what group are you in? You can feel very satisfied of being delivered from sin and living a holy and a righteous life, but still have a bad attitude. Still not go through the trials that you're going through, right? And let me tell you, I don't care who you are. And you can say I'm talking about you if you want to, because I am. if you go through the trials and you have a bad attitude, you're one of the foolish virgins. Well, I know I'm saved. I know you're saved too. I'm not going to take that away from you. But let me tell you something. There's some grace for you to go through. And all, when they rub you the wrong way, there's this oil that you can get that lubricates. Not only does it keep your light burning, but it lubricates and allows you to go through these trials like God wants you to go through them. Saints, that's what the church is all about. It's a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hid. All this stuff, living down in the doldrums and down in the valleys and down in the sewers and making all kinds of excuses for sin is wrong. That is not the church of God. That is not God's people. That is not what a Christian is supposed to look like. What a Christian is supposed to look like is somebody that in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the persecution, their light is still burning. Don't let a man take your crown. Don't trust him to the point. Let me tell you something else here. The Lord, and I've often said, and I see that there is a trend in our generation to become very independent. And I've preached on this on several occasions. There is, the church is a body. It is a body of believers that there are certain places that God has put in the church such as please him. All right, and the Lord, in his own way and in his own, for whatever purpose that he has set those over the over congregations, the pastors over congregations. Do you know that you should consult your pastor? You should listen to what comes across this pulpit?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Have y'all heard anything that's false that comes across it? I want to see your hand. All right. Then believe it. Because ultimately what happened with these five foolish virgins is that they just didn't believe that they needed the extra oil. It was a spirit of unbelief. I don't believe that. And anytime you don't believe something, it gives you the license to disobey it. And to justify that disobedience. Because I don't believe it. Well, just because you don't believe it, don't make the word of God untrue. All right? It's still true. You're still going to have to face it in the end. You're still going to have be one of those that has enough grace to go through the trials that you're going through. You're going to still have to have enough of that to get through those things in the end. Now, you may not see that. Here's the frightening part of it. The frightening part of it is they didn't know until they woke up. And here's the other frightening part of it. All of them slept. And then you wake up out of your sleep, and all of a sudden, you realize, I don't have any fire. I'm no longer alive. Half of us are going to make those kinds of choices. Right here in this building, half of us are going to be wise, half of us are going to be foolish. We don't have to be the statistic. That's the good news. The good news is that we can say, okay, this group here is the wise. Somebody out there is the foolish. And you know what my desire is as a pastor? My desire, I'm going to be one of the wise. I'll say this story and then I'll be done. When I was coming back from Honduras, y'all know I like home. I don't like traveling. I like coming home. And so I get itching about Wednesday or Thursday. I'll be counting the days. Well, anyway, we had this situation there in Honduras where the government had closed down we told you about closing down the airports. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to get out. But anyway, when we got to the gate, they didn't give me a seat assignment. They said, go to the gate, and we'll give you a seat assignment. I was traveling with some other saints, and they got their seat assignment, went on the plane. And everybody loaded up the plane. There was about four or five of us that we're waiting. We were just waiting. We didn't know what the situation was. So they came up and they got our seat assignment. When I went on the plane, Brother Tony and Sister Jeannie, I looked for them. I couldn't find them. And they looked for me and they couldn't find me. So they thought I didn't get on the plane. So when they landed in Atlanta, they said, they called around. They said, call Sister Kim and tell him Brother Daryl didn't get on that plane. And so they called my wife and told him he didn't get on the plane. And so when I met up with him, they said, where have you been? You know, we were looking for you. And he said, we thought you'd left. Here's my point. I said, you know what? I said, it's like heaven. I was too close to that plane not to get on it. Somebody was going to get me on that plane. I was coming home. I didn't care what they did or what I had to go through in order to get it. They were going to hear some noise if Brother Darrell didn't get on that plane. It was going to be sanctified, y'all. It was going to be sanctified. I wasn't going to get out of sorts, but I was getting on that plane. So I told him, you know, it's like going to heaven. I've gone too far. You've been saved too long not to make it to heaven. And so may the Lord help us to make the choice that you're in the group that got on the plane, the group that got in the ark, the group that ran out of the city before it was too late. That's the group that you want. Those are the choices that you're making. You don't want to stay on this side. You don't want to be one of the foolish ones. But may the Lord help you. You've gone too far, saints, to let a man take your crown or to decide and to allow the spirit of unbelief to say, you know what, that ain't necessary. You don't know what's necessary until you get there. They didn't think it was necessary, and then they thought they'd have the same access to the oil that everybody else had. You had it then, but you don't have it now. And you didn't know it until it was too late. And what did the Lord say? They came back and they knocked on the door and he says, I don't even know you. What do you mean you don't know me? What do you mean you don't know me? Maybe these are the ones that say to the Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name cast out devils? In your name done many mighty works? But he says, I never knew you. And it's like this. It seems like it's unfair, doesn't it? But it's not. Because they knew down to the end, yes, they cast out devils. Yes, they did many mighty works. Yes, they were saints, and they were confident in that ability that they could feel that they still had the Spirit of God. But they wouldn't go the extra mile to do the little bit more that they needed to do to get the grace on hand that they needed. Then when they woke up from their sleep, that they could still be saints of God. I didn't say it. The Holy Ghost is saying it to us today. Because I believe that that's where we are. I believe that that's where all of us are. We're making a choice today that is an eternal choice. Am I going to live for the Lord? Am I going to be a wise virgin? Or am I going to be a foolish virgin? May the Lord help us. Pray for me.